I got great news for you. I've got some news for you today that'll change your life this afternoon. You will feel different this afternoon with the news that I have for you today. How many love God here today? How many really love God and Jesus? He's everything to you. If he's everything to you, boy, have I got great. I'm telling you.
Hey, see, I'm great if you with me, so serve.
Shadow by the shadow of the arm.
from Muskogee, and we can't sing that this morning, but if I know you're coming sometime, we've been known to rewrite some songs for some people. We did that for Mike one time. We wrote Traveling Man and made it into a Christian song. So if we ever know you're coming sometime, maybe we can rewrite a little Okie just for you, because you come to this church when you're in Connecticut, and we appreciate that. Let's give God praise and glory this morning. Can we stand up and pray? I got great news for each and every one of you today. Brother Jim, welcome. Lord, thank you for this day. We weren't promised it last night when you went to sleep, but you woke up and here you are. So take advantage of every minute of this day, especially this morning in God's house, and you talk to God and pray to God, because I know you all have prayers you want God to hear. So thank you, Lord, that you love us beyond our wildest imagination, that you created all of this for us so you can love us and have somebody to love you back. We love you in this house, Lord. We just praise you as we sing Amazing Grace.
God, amen. Praise our Holy Father in heaven who loved us. He created all this for who? For us. He was full of compassion. God is compassion, and he just wanted that so much love. If you have so much love in your heart, you needed something to do with it, and God said, I will create this beautiful heaven and earth for us, the stars and the sky and the moon and the clouds and the ground and the trees, created for us because he loved us before we even knew him. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give God praise. Be seated. Enjoy yourself. I need a bulletin, if I could get, ma'am. Sorry, hon. I'm going to find out what Miss Marilyn's picked out for us today. And Marilyn told me the other day she was so impressed with how everybody's been reading so well. Right, Marilyn?
Yes, absolutely.
She sticks right there with me, I tell you what. You know, idea how tight Marilyn and I are working together. We just know we're coming after you. Just understand that we're coming after you. Praise God. Responsive reading, which means that I read and then you read too. What a concept. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? Don't they do that? They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Yeah. He who planted the ear shall not hear. He who formed the eye shall not see. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is the man, which means we are in favor with who? God. Do you understand that? We are in favor with God. What would you want? That's not even the good news I have for you. I have better news than that. But first, in 1 Kings, what does Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, not demand from Ahab? You know, he's going to have a battle with Ahab and the Israelites, and he demands some things. But there's one thing he does not demand from the king Ahab. Does he not demand his wives, or Ahab's children, or Ahab's horses? In 1 Kings, what does Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, not demand from Ahab? How many think that he doesn't demand his wives? Anybody with wives? Got wives? How many think that he doesn't demand to have his children? He wants to tell, how many about his horses think that he doesn't demand he take his horses? He demands Ahab to surrender his gold, his wives, and his children. Not his horses. That's a great story, you see. That's a great story because after he tells, Ahab says, okay. Ahab says, okay, you can take our wives and our children and our gold. And then he said, see, when people get, what I was talking about in a book I read, when evil gets too far, they reach out too far. You see, they got this power and they reach out a little bit too far, you see? And that's what you're going to see in the world today, I promise you, because God's truly in control. How many know that? You see, evil starts first, God goes second. And evil's going to go so far that it's going to fall off a cliff because it doesn't have any, doesn't even knowledge of how bad it is until one step. But see, and then, so Ben-Hadad told Ahaz, he said, okay, and here's the other thing we're going to do now. We're going to be able to come into all your tents and walk into everybody's houses and take whatever we want to see. Anything we see, we're going to take it. For some reason, Ahab said, that's too much. You can have my wives and my children and my gold, but you can't come in my house and take anything that you see. It's quite an interesting story. Let me tell you, Ben-Hadad gets zero, nada, nothing, just so you know, okay? But it's in 1 Kings, if you ever want to read that story. According to the book of Peter, by what are we healed? By his blood, by his stripes, or by his death? According to the book of Peter, by what are we healed? How many think we're healed by his blood? Anybody want to say by his stripes? Anybody want to say by his death we are healed? According to the book of Peter, it is said by his stripes we are healed. By the whipping that he takes, every time they hit him with a whip, we were healed for another sin. Every time they hit him for a transgression, we were healed because of the pain and suffering he took. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And that's what it means. By every whip that he had, every lash that he had on his body, and there were many, for every one, we were healed of another transgression. What is spoken about the Romans throughout the world? What is spoken about the Romans throughout the world back in the day? In the book of Romans, was it their sin that people speak about? Was it their faith or their lifestyle? What is spoken about the Romans throughout the world? How many think it was their sins? How many think it was their faith that people spoke about their faith? And anybody, their lifestyle? What is spoken about throughout the world? Paul thanked God for their faith. For their faith. Andre, you can sit in back if you will. You don't have to sit up. I mean, I know your spot's back there and by the door, and it's cooler back there too. But there's a woman back there. Don't let her bother you, okay? She sits in the back row with Dave. Don't let her bother you. Everybody thank Andre for playing with us today. Please do that. Who first desired to build a temple for the Lord? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were people desiring to build a temple. They wanted so much for God to have like a house like we have here. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this, this is God's house? And you made it. You're making it. Praise God. You're taking the wood and making it spiritual, see? You're taking all this beauty and you're bringing God's presence, see? And you put a steeple on your church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You guys must be doing good. Who first desired to build a temple to the Lord? Was it Moses? Was it David? Or was it Solomon? Who first desired to build a temple for God? How many think it was Moses who first desired it? Anybody want to say it was David first desired it? Or how many Solomon first desired it? Well, here's the thing. Solomon did build the temple for the Lord, amen? But the Bible says David's heart's desire was to build a temple to the Lord. It was David who wanted to, and God wouldn't let him. Stopped him. But his desire was to do that. Okay, no cheating now. No looking, no peeking. What is the last prophetic book written in the Old Testament? Is it Micah? Is it Haggai or is it Malachi? What is the last prophetic book written in the Old Testament? How many think it's Micah? Anybody with Haggai? How many think it's Malachi? Yes. We're moving along. It's the book of Larry. It is the book of Malachi. Very good, everybody. Very, very good. Now, you've been all really nice to me when we were talking about forgiveness and we need to forgive others. And you're saying that we need to hear that message. And somebody said, why isn't the world hearing this message? That was so sweet for my spirit to hear that and to understand with forgiveness. But there was one thing missing. And it's probably the most important thing that you need to know in your life. How many here love God? Amen. How many here make mistakes? Amen. Okay, that's admitting you love and need God. And how many would need God in their life? Amen, right? But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to be perfect to come to God. You don't have to be good to come to God. You don't even have to stop the thing that you were doing. And that's kind of funny, isn't it? You don't have to stop sinning to come to God. Because the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How much? All. If we confess our sins, who do you confess your sin to? God. Be why? Because you love him and because you go to him, because he is the forgiver. He is the one that passes blessing. He is the one that hears your prayer. Amen. So you want to be pure when you go to God. You want to feel, how many sometimes you feel like you don't have a right to go to God, or maybe you feel like you've done things that God just won't answer your prayer because of something you've done. A lot of people feel that way. They feel lost, but here it is. Therefore, and when the Bible says, therefore, Walter, what does it mean? That's it. When you hear the word and you read the word in your Bible, and I hope you do, and you see the word, therefore, it means that's established. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Therefore, there is now, when? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It means there's nothing When you've asked God to forgive you, there is nothing. Let me say that word again. Nothing against you. How much? Nothing. Now, man might tell you that's foolish and that's not true, but I don't care what man says. I tell you what the Bible says. You confess to God, He hears your prayer and He forgives you. It's all a matter of the heart. Confession to God, but God knows who? Your heart. You don't judge anybody. You don't look at anybody else. This is between you and God. But because you've asked God to help you, to forgive you, the message of forgiveness is full circle. Now you are forgiven. That is the greatest news I could give you today, the greatest news you can give yourself today, the greatest feeling you should ever have when you're walking out that door today. Say, I am forgiven by Lord and Savior, my God. I can go to God in prayer. I can talk to God. God hears me because I am clean, because God made me clean by my confession. That's the most powerful thing you need to know in your life. No matter what you face, no matter how far you fall back, when you fall back with your flesh, like Paul said, God is right there with you. And you help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I confess, Lord. I've fallen. I have an iniquity. He will lift you up. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But the message this morning of your forgiveness with God is the greatest message I could give each and every one of you. That when you go downstairs later and have a sandwich, say, I'm clean with God. I'm all right in heaven. My name is all right in heaven because I talked to God and He forgave me for whatever it is. And it's not that I don't feel good enough. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because the Bible says there's no condemnation. No is a big word, right? There's none. Zero. Zip. Nada. However you want to spell it out, there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the greatest news you could ever have? But when you go to prayer, you know God hears your prayer. When you go to God in need, you know He hears your need because you are faithful and you are His children. Anybody ever have a child come and ask you for something you didn't hear? That's a lie. Of course you hear, amen? And God, your Father in heaven, hears your prayers and He hears them loud and clear because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Give Him praise. That's the best news ever. Hear our prayer, O Lord, that you accept that in your heart this morning like you never accepted it before. Ma'am, if you would. Amen and amen. Grant us thy peace, Lord. When you have the peace of God in your heart, your body begins to heal. I wish you hear this. I got a message for you today. It's loud and clear for all of us. But I wish you understand what she just sang. Grant us thy peace. When your body's at peace, it begins to heal. That's God's plan for your body. Not your plan, not the doctor's plan, but God's plan. When your body's at peace, you can just heal. You can feel it. When you're right with God. And today, this morning, each and every one of you are right with God. I don't care what you're thinking or what you did or what you did yesterday or what you're thinking about. I don't care about anything, any iniquity, any sin you're falling into. God says, I am here. I will lift you higher than that sin. Hallelujah. That's a great message. Amen. But the message today is even more important, isn't that? That's the most important thing for us. But how many know that we get tired? Anybody waiting for something, you get tired. I know in our family, my wife and I are really on our knees now praying for something. And I know that other people in this church are going through the same thing, where this is a prayer that needs to be answered. And sometimes you get tired. You know, we run out of patience. We must never run out of faith. Can I have an amen? The Bible says when we are weakest, He is strongest. But listen, a scripture only sounds good. And I'm telling you, a scripture only sounds good to our ears, but to our heart yearns for more. When somebody comes to me, I always try not to give them a scripture because that's, you know, that they need something. They need counseling or they need love or they need compassion. Or sometimes they just need somebody to be quiet and let them talk. Amen? But sometimes that scripture is not enough. With all we have been through, we've been given a measure of faith. The Bible says all of us have been given a measure of what? Faith. But this story today, this sermon today is a book about the last mile. The last mile. And there's some of us, sometimes you feel like you're in that last mile. And that's what you as believers have to stand up and take charge of. John the Baptist, anybody hear him? He was all full of everything. He was good until he went to prison. And then he got scared in prison. Simon Peter was all bold and everything when Jesus was here. But the second Jesus was gone, his faith left him. You see, everything was good for, oh, that's good, oh, that's good. But when the first thing that happened, the first fire came, when Jesus was taken, he denied him three times. How many times did the rooster crow? Once. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, did so many things for God, but he got tired. His patience ran out because he didn't see things the way he wanted to. So his patience ran out. He stood on a mountain wanting to do what? To die. Elijah, the prophet, wanted to die to get rid of the pain that was in because he was afraid, because his faith had left him, because the battle was so long that he got weak. We need God's grace to sustain us in our greatest times of need, usually at the end of our own strength, when it seems all is lost. This is something, Christians, this is a message today that's so important that you share with people, because we're all going through it, everybody in their life, different times. Moses, every day, every battle he fought was met with the grace of God. Listen, if any one of us were Moses, I think any one of us would have given up a long time before the 40 years. I'm done with this. I'm done with these people. I'm done. I'm out of here. But he didn't. Only by the grace of God he didn't. God kept giving him new favor to get through it. See, Moses was at the end of his rope and he needed God's favor to continue. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. How many hear the story about Lazarus? When Jesus came, said, oh, don't go because he's been dead a few days. You see, their faith was gone. They had prayed so much that Lazarus would get well that their faith was strong, but Lazarus died and they lost all hope, all faith. Jesus just smiled at him and said, move over. And God took over, amen? But their faith was at the end. Their battle was long. But who else was like that in the Bible? Who else felt that, you know, they're walking in faith and talking like that and believing like that. And then as at the end, the battle was so long and he was so tired at the end. Who else? Anybody? Jesus. What did he say in the garden? Father, if you can take this cup from me, please do it. He was done. He was at the end of his faith. He was saying, Lord, your will be done, but if you can take this from me. He knew everything that he was going to do and how he was going to do it, but his faith ran out. So when you look at yourself and wonder how your faith can run out, it's all in the Bible. Amen? What is faith? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that, it's kind of contradictory to the world, right? You have faith that something will be as it is, and you're believing for it before it comes, and your faith is strong because you trust God and you love God. You all confess that. So you're believing God to do a miracle, whatever the miracle might be, however it might look. And so that's faith. And the Bible says we're to add to our faith. Add to your faith. So faith must be something real special. Faith must be that thing. You see, if we're add to our faith, we got to know better. So I tell you this today. Nothing too small to remember. That is the first problem with all believers. All believers, all of us, we think sometimes God answered a prayer and they're too small for you to remember it. Shame on all of us. How many put pennies and nickels and quarters and dimes in a bottle, in a cup, in a glass? Anybody? Why do you do that? Because you're saving up, right? You think, well, eventually that's going to amount to something. Yet when God answers a little prayer like bringing you here this morning, you say, well, I expected to be here. Really? Or when things happen in your life, when God brings people together, you say, well, okay, we're together now. What else? You see, you forget. You don't put them little nickels and quarters in the answer to prayers because they're just, okay, I got here. My car made it here. I didn't get nothing and no trouble. I didn't get a flat tire getting here. All these wonderful things that God did for you that you just say, okay, I did it. Oh, I got a parking place today. Okay, somebody just left. That's how I got it. Never mind, God. This guy's pulling out now. So you don't have faith for that because you got it. Remembering what God has done for you is how you put the nickels, dimes, and quarters into your bank of faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Not making this stuff up. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Whew! You can add all those to your faith. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For you, if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never what? So he's telling you, in 2 Peter, he's telling you, you got to add to your faith. How many are going to have a battle? You're going to have a long battle. It's going to wear you out. It happens in life. This is a life story today. My story and your story. It's going to wear you out praying for your kids, your grandkids, or whatever it is you're praying for. It's going to wear you down unless your faith is strong. And see, he's saying, unless you do that, or you'll stumble, you'll become weak. That's why he said, add to your faith. Amen. Add to your what? Your faith. So that in these times, put the nickels and dimes and quarters in, adding to your faith. Here's the funny thing about faith. Not funny, haha, but it's funny in reality. Maybe you never thought of it. If you use your faith, it builds up. Always ready to be used. Yet the more you use it, the more you have. Isn't that interesting with God? The more you use your faith, the more it adds up inside of you, and the more faith you have for what? So you don't stumble when those other problems come. So you don't grow weak at the end of the race because you have the faith that carries you through. Amen? God did not intend for us to go through such pain and worry. He didn't. He gave us his word. That's why we must overcome. So I'm going to tell you this. I've talked about it before, but I want to share it in a different way. Remember those altars of remembrance. You all remember the story of Abraham. Everywhere he went, he stopped. And what did he do, church? He built an altar. And so as he went on and he stopped, he did what? He built another altar. And he kept going. And when he came back, what did he do? He saw the altar that he built. And what did that do for him? Gave him remembrance of what God did for him. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, this is for you. I hope you all get it. The altar of remembrance is put nickels and dimes in the jar and the quarters of remembrance. Because there's people here who have been married 30 years. 30, 40 years, and they have to remember all the wonderful things. They keep building up and building up. That's what keeps you sustained. That's what keeps you strong, remembering what God has done for you. I don't care if you're married 1 month like John and Anne Marie or somebody else longer than that. You got to remember what God did for you. Where you were 6 months ago alone or no job or no, all of a sudden you're a family. What the heck? How are you forgetting that? Or you're fighting again. What are you fighting about? God healed you. God did all that. Yet what are you complaining about today? Maybe you forgot how much you loved each other 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago. You see, you got to renew that love. You got to renew that spirit. And you do it by one way, with faith in God. See, people forget that. Oh, we're married now. Okay. There's nothing else to... My wife even says with men sometimes, we forget we're married, so we don't do our hair like we should. We don't do our mustache like we should, Walter. We don't take care of ourselves like when we were single and out carousing. Not like Zippy, anyway. I never caroused. I never did anything you didn't know about. I love you. You got to remember everything. And you say, man, well, I wish I did that. I wish I kept records of certain things. I know myself when I went hunting and I was out in the woods all the time, my own Chuck and Dave. And I used to say, I should sit here and while I'm waiting, just write a little booklet. You know, today, Monday, November 3rd, and it was sunny out and it was really nice. I saw three deer. And yeah, I said, nah, I'll remember. If I had those books to go back on today, it would be joy to my heart like I couldn't tell you. Or when I caught a trout on my first fly. Or anything in your life that you've done that you kind of remember and kind of forgot. See? I wish I had done that. It's the same thing today, right here with all of us today, with God. I wish I remembered everything He did so I can face everything I'm facing. See, that's the way God intended it to be. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to reach for help. I'm a man, I can't do that. That's a life in the pits of hell. You reach for help, a pastor, a friend, somebody who will listen so that you're not alone. It's horrible to be alone. We watch this show every week. It's called Alone. I don't know if anybody has ever seen it, but they drop 10 people off in the most remote areas of the world, in British Columbia. And they're supposed to be survival experts, it says. And whoever stays the longest gets $500,000. Just, they don't know where anybody else is or how long they are. But you know what gets them? Every time we watch it, and the guy, he'll be sitting there at the campfire, and he's got a beautiful blind maid, and he's sitting at the campfire, and he'll say, I miss my wife. And we'll say, that's it, you're done. You're done. Oh, I miss my children. Nope, you're done. You ain't going to make it. And they don't make it. And they show one where the lady says, I feel so alone. I don't know how to deal with this loneliness. You see? That's what God's saying. You're not alone. You've never been alone. You're not going to be alone. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. But sometimes you have to add to your faith. He's given you how to do it. He's given you right there in 2 Peter all those beautiful things to add to it. Patience, perseverance, godliness. Treat other people different. If you're kind of lost in the world right now, reach out to other people. Help them. That'll get your mind off of what you're facing. Faith can and must be built up. That means at times we can lose faith. Amen? Through the trial, suffering, and persecution. I know this is true. This is a message so important. We have somebody in our hearts, my wife and I, so deep in our hearts is going through something right now, and it's toward the end now, and it's been months, and he's strong, and he's a strong man, and he's strong. But I know in my heart, I know that he's going to get weaker because the time is getting to an end. You see all the prayers and everything, and God hears them and stuff. But I know what he's going through. I know what people are going through when you get there, because Jesus went through it, and Moses went through it, and Elijah went through it. Faith is draining from our bodies. We grow weaker. That being our flesh. Our mind tells us, I can't go on. It won't happen. But our spirit rises up and we fight harder. How? Because God begins to pour his grace upon you. People don't even understand God's grace. They don't understand what that means. But you don't need the grace until you're going through something. He'll give you the grace you need to go through it. Amen. People say, I don't know what I would do if that ever happened. You're not supposed to know. But when that time comes, God will pour out his grace on you so you will understand completely. Amen. And you will have the strength to face things you never thought you could face when you were 15 years old. Are you with me today? In the beginning of any event, I wrote the word event, whatever it is, in our lives, we are full and ready to walk in faith and to believe. In the beginning of something happens, okay, I got faith. God's going to take care of this. I feel good. I'm ready to go. Right, Walter? Ready to go. The first mile's a piece of cake. I go, look at him. He's got a lot of faith. Yeah. Then the fifth mile, we begin to breathe a little harder. Phew. That was a month. Phew. Okay, I'm ready. I'm good. I'm good. I'm just, you know, catching my breath. Then at 10th mile, our legs begin to ache. Say, wait a minute. Phew. And the 15th mile, we begin to doubt if we can even finish. Did I train enough? Phew. I wonder if Moses thought that, or Jesus thought that. Elijah, did I do enough? Have I prayed enough? You get to that 15th mile and you start to wonder, I don't even know if I can finish. I know I'm praying for and I know God can answer, but I don't know if I can hang on. Mile 20, our energy is gone. No one would blame you if you quit. No one would call you a loser or mock you or blame you or make fun of you if you gave up on that 20th mile. Nobody would. They say, look, I know what you've been through. It's been a long time and I understand, see? But there's that prize at the end. I can't quit. I've been praying for God's hand, and I know God's hand, and I know what I'm praying for is righteous, and I ask God to move my prayers and the Holy Spirit to pray right for me so that God hears the prayer, the prayer in my heart. And I know that God's going to answer my prayer because I have all this remembrance. I have all these altars of remembrance, all these nickels and dimes and quarters I put in a jar. Look how full it is. Look how much God has answered my prayer. So I know He's going to answer. I just don't have any strength left. And nobody would blame me if I quit. But I want the prize. That's pulling you on. See, that wanting the prize. That great reward at the end. And it's not even about finishing first anymore. You're in a race. It doesn't matter if you finish first, fourth, eighth, or tenth. You just want to finish the race. You want to walk with God. You want to cross the line. You want to finish the race. And that's what pushes you on. You've given all this energy to this prayer that you're holding on to. This prayer that means so much to you. And you get so close to it, and all of a sudden you just... You lose everything. We had somebody today we spoke to. It's so wonderful how God does that in my life and just our lives and just shows you something. We have somebody who lost their condo. They were here in our church. They lost their condo last year. And everything was good. The lady across the street and the next condo had a condo just like theirs, and it was open, and they're living in that condo. They can see their condo from across the driveway. And the woman said, you can stay there as long as you want. Is that not God? Right across the driveway from their condo. And they know their condo's all getting done. It's going to get closer, and they're talking about November. But we spoke to the person today. He said, I don't know. I don't know if I can wait any longer. See? You see, all that was wonderful, all the wonderful things that God put change in, her piggy bank should be full of everything that God did. But there you are at the end of the race, and she's saying, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know what's going to happen, you see? There's nothing wrong with her. That's just like all of us are. When you get to the end of that mile, when you get to the 20th mile. Thank you, Lord. So I tell you this. Add to your faith. Remember what God has done. Don't fight with each other. Love each other. Remember where you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and see what God did. Remember what you didn't have that you have today. And thank the person you're with, or thank the people around you, or thank anybody you can thank. Give somebody love and compassion and mercy. Show what God really means in our lives. But imagine this. Imagine this. Whatever you're going through, you're running that race with God. He is running with you. Knowing God was with you through the pain will absolutely be the greatest gift. Imagine the difference inside of you, knowing that you're walking and running with God. The things you're going through right now, God is right there going through it with you, saying, I'm right here. He's got his hand on your shoulder. I'm right here. Just stay on my word. You stay in peace. Add to your faith. Remember what I've done for you. Remember the things you've been through. Remember the pains and all the prayers you had in the past that I answered. I'm not stopping today. Just hold on. You need to add in any tips. 2 Peter tells us that. If you add to your faith all those little things that you might just blow over, but if you just add those things to your faith, you will not stumble at the end. Even Jesus got on his knees and said, Father, if it be your will, take this from me. Amen. Moses, and again I'll tell you about Elijah, probably the greatest prophet in the Bible. He wanted to die because his faith was gone. He forgot every single thing that God did for him. Imagine that, and that's who we are today. Imagine running that race with God. This is not about a trophy, okay? This message today isn't about some trophy, about winning anything. It's about life, your life, and my wife's. Your prayer, my wife's prayer, your prayers. The answer from God. Because life gives us these battles. How we choose to fight them is up to each and every one of us. Everybody has those battles. My granddaughter said to me one time, and I carry with me all the time, she said, "You don't know my life." And I smiled when she said that. Then I realized, you know how true that is? You don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. But there's people in the world right now that think they know your life. Simply by the color of your skin, they know your life. Isn't that amazing? They know everything about you simply by the color of your skin. You all oppressed people. You all ruined people's lives. You all took jobs you shouldn't have had. Isn't that foolish? See, that's the way the world thinks. Amen? But God doesn't think that way. And believers don't think that way. Life gives us these battles. How we choose to fight them is up to each and every one of us. And let me close right here. Because this is important. Everything's important. I'm a little fired up. Forgive me. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care how popular you are, how much fame you have. Rich, famous people. I've seen on TV where rich and famous people have given up. They had everything in life they ever wanted. Everything. And they turned to drugs. They turned to pills. They turned to alcohol. They get depressed so bad. I mean, they could go out tomorrow and buy every single thing they want to buy. Just walking around, I'll buy that house, I'll take that boat, I'll take that bow and arrow. Oh, let me have that truck. Yet they're depressed, you see? And I see rich people falling down like that. So it doesn't matter how rich you are, that doesn't save you, or how famous you are, that doesn't save you. What's missing in their life is one single thing. It's Jesus. And it's not only having Jesus in your heart, that's really nice and pretty when you accept him in your heart, but you got to get this word inside of you so deep that when these times come, you don't stumble, see? I can't leave you at the salvation call. Oh, I believe in God, come into my heart. Okay, you have salvation. But what does that mean? You see, it's this word. It's this word, when you start to read it yourself and it starts to feed you, this word gives you the hope and understanding of what God wants in your life and how God thinks of you. Amen? So those people who lost that, I'm not saying they weren't Christian. I'm just saying they didn't have the word of God. Somebody might have told them about Jesus. Maybe they were so rich they felt they didn't need God. Anybody ever see that? People have so much they forget. I don't need God. What does God do for me? Look what I got. I'm a billionaire. Really? Watch how fast you lose that. And then when you die, people are going to spend you money. You don't even know who they are. They're not going to spend it the way you would. They're just going to waste your money away. Does that make you feel better? No, I'm sure it doesn't. His word and his spirit inside of you is the greatest beginning. But knowing what the word says is the food that feeds you. We all need to be fed every day. You feed yourself every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You bacon and eggs and chicken and all that. You got to eat this word too. See, because we're all going to go through these trials and tribulations. And trust me, my wife and I are walking through this right now, believing. And we get closer to the end. I know it's going to stretch it. But if we just do what the Bible says to do, we'll be stronger and understand that God is with us. And we look at the things that God has blessed us with these past 10 years that we're together and the 45 years that we've been, everything that we do. And God has blessed our hand. We look at all the things that he has given us and all the things he's given you. Understand, he's not done yet. Amen. Give him praise, please. One of the most exciting weeks for me with my sermon. that I've had in a while. I love every Sunday. I love putting my sermon together, starting on Monday and praying about what to pray for. But this one this week was so all of us, so part of God and so part of us in this church that we all overcome. Because I know there might not be anything today in your life that you feel stretched out for. But now when it happens, something comes in your life, you know how to face it. Isn't that the greatest gift God can give you? Show you how to face these things and how to stand and deal with these things. And get yourself out of the way so God can act. Because it says when you are weakest, He is strongest, Jim. That just means when you finally get out of the way, then He can work. Instead of you trying to fix something and He has to fix what you tried to fix before He can fix the problem. That's the truth. I saw a sign in a garage where they're working on cars. $35 an hour. $45 an hour if you tried to fix it first. Thank God God doesn't do that for us. So I had it all set. The ball was all lined up. You were going to get a hole in one, and then you moved the tee on me. You forgot what I did for you. If Jesus was standing here right now, I'm telling you, your heart would just ache because you forgot all the things He's done for all of us. That God created this world for us. He created the stars and the moon and the galaxies, so beautiful. But He created that for us because He had all this love and compassion and He had to give it somewhere. He's sitting there thinking, I gotta give me these people. My people. And I'm going to create something so beautiful and perfect that the rivers will never run dry and the oceans won't overflow and the birds of the air will be fed and there'll be places that nobody lives that I'll feed those animals too. Yeah, there was a big bang, all right. God caused the big bang, amen. When He said, let there be light, and God shone all over the world, all over the galaxy, everything. Hallelujah. That's your God. That's your God. He's still around, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Enjoy this message today. Enjoy sharing Jesus with people. Even if they see it and they don't have to hear it, they could see your spirit shine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He did this for you. He did it. He gave up His life for you. Can you add that to your little nickels and dimes and quarters? He sat there and took the bread and blessed it and He broke it, saying, this is My body being torn for you. By His stripes you are healed. Every whip in the head, every hit that He got was another sin removed, another transgression removed. He took it all on Himself for you. And all He says to do for us is not give them $1 million each or not do. He says, just do this in remembrance of Me in Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. Thank you, Lord. He took the wine, poured it into a cup, said, this is My blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. I will forgive you because of the blood I shed for you. And He said, do this in remembrance of Me in Jesus' name. No need to fear, brothers and sisters. You have a beautiful life that you're living today. You know what God would tell you to do? Enjoy it. Enjoy your day. I tell you all the time to do something different so you can enjoy something different. Don't boo-hoo what God can do. If you're doing the same thing every day, every day, every day, and wonder why you're feeling like every day is the same day, because you're doing it. Do something different. Go have ice cream. Go for a walk. Go for a drive. Go to anything. Just do something different so God can show you something different. It's a beautiful time of year. Green grass, the sun, the beautiful warmth of He's blessing us, even when it's raining. To me, I love a rainy day. And I've been blessed lately. It's been raining a lot. But it's beautiful out. The air smells good. I want to go out there and get wet because it just feels right. It's God saying, I love you. Hallelujah. Anybody here going through any of those battles, just know you're with God. That should give you comfort beyond belief. Know that God is with you and understands completely. He's just saying to His children, like you've told your children 999,000 times, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you take care of your car, this will be good. If you take and do, and you do your, everything that you do right will bless you. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the same thing today, children. If you just do this, add to your faith. Just do that like you tell your children how to raise your, He's telling our children, just do this faith and things are going to be better. Add to your faith and you'll be stronger. Add to the knowledge of me, He's saying, and you'll be stronger in me. And then you'll be stronger in faith and you'll be stronger to face life. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Praise is awesome.